Hey everybody, Ron Alcoholic. I'd like to welcome anybody new, anybody coming back. Welcome to AA. Thanks for inviting me here tonight, you guys. My sobriety date's November the 3rd, 1988. So I did get here quite a few days ago. And that doesn't make me any different than anybody sitting in this room. I came in here exactly like you did. And I came in here like full of fear and stuff and just to back up just before that is I started the waterfront when I was 13 years old, 13, just turning 14, and I started working on these ships, and I learned how to drink, basically, is the bottom line, and I learned how to drink, and I didn't know anything about stopping, I didn't know anything about being an alcoholic, but I learned how to drink. And that was my story. It just continued, and I drank lots, couldn't stop, couldn't control it, and things were happening near the end of my drinking when I was about, 24 when I quit drinking. So near the end there, every day was the same day. It was exactly the same. I didn't like life, I didn't love life, I didn't... I woke up and every day was just another day of hell. And that's how I was. And I didn't know what was going on with me. You know, the bodily fluids in front of, inside me weren't working that well. And I was about 110 pounds. And I was dying from something I didn't know I was dying from. And that's really horrible, but that's exactly what was happening. And kind of drinker that I was I was one of these drinkers that... just drank all the time. I didn't give it much thought. It didn't matter if I was at work. It didn't matter if it was after work. I just drank, and I drank lots. And I drank and just couldn't stop. So one day, I asked for help, and I got myself some help through my union, and this guy came, and he said to me on the phone, he said, "Can you quit just for today?" And I said, "Yeah, I can, but where is that going to get me?" He says, "You don't have to worry about that." He said, "Why don't you just quit today, and I'll come tomorrow and help you out." Anyways, the next day came, and it was November the 3rd, 1988. And he came, and he picked me up. He took me to detox. I hated detox. Like, I really did. I hated it. I thought I was going to a country club, but it was a place where people go, and they smoke, and they didn't drink there, and it was just hell. I really didn't like detox at all. So what happened was, as I was in detox, and I really didn't like it much, and I phoned up the guy who took me there, and I said, "I can't stand this any longer. I need to leave. I need to get out of this place." And he said, "I'll come and pick you up," and he took me down to the Vancouver Recovery Club to the 8 o'clock meeting. You know, I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous is what is my story. Is I loved it from the very first day I got here. I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous because you guys gave me hope. And to give hope to an alcoholic is like giving them the world. And you guys just gave me everything. And you gave it to me right away. You gave me the world because you guys gave me hope. And I didn't know anything about hope. So I loved the meeting so much, I hung around to the 11 o'clock meeting. So after the 11 o'clock meeting, I went back to detox, and I just loved it. I was happy. I was on top of the world. And they talk about this pink cloud in Alcoholics Anonymous. And a lot of people came up to me and said, "You know, you might get on this pink cloud, but it's going to go. So you better be careful. And, you know, I'm just warning you." And I had a lot of people warning me about this pink cloud. Well, let me tell you, after almost 25 years, I'm still on that pink cloud. And I still love Alcoholics Anonymous, but I love it even more than the day I came to AA. So I fell in love with AA, and what happened was my story is I started sponsoring people. I heard everything that happened in AA, you know, like doing the steps and stuff like that. And they talked about sponsorship in AA, and I wanted that. I wanted to be a sponsor, and I only had 2 months sober. I thought it was a great idea. So I started sponsoring people in AA, and it changed my life. Like, if you ever really want to get into the 12 steps and learn about the 12 steps, just start sponsoring people, because you have to always stay ahead of them. I didn't realize that when I started taking on these sponsees, right? They started asking me about the steps, and I'm like, oh no, okay, let me get back to you, and how about just open up the book and read the first chapter, and I had to read the chapter, and I had to learn about it, and I had to learn about it quick. And you know, that's exactly what happens. And today, I have some wonderful sponsees. I still have, like, even a sponsee that I started, you know, he must have about 23, 24 years. So it can work. Like, this Alcoholics Anonymous and working the 12 steps in your life can work. And I didn't realize that. So as I got into the steps, I got into the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it continued to change my life. And I didn't know that, because when I first came here, I was just sober and crazy. I don't know if you guys ever had crazy times in your sobriety, but if you're not kind of like doing the work, you're crazy. And you know, there's a word for that I've learned, is what happens before we go crazy. There's like a warning light that happens to us in AA before we go crazy. And Dr. Silkworth talks about it, and it's that irritable, restless discontent. He talks about it, right? And he would say that we're irritable, restless, discontent. And if we don't take care of that, it's talking about we're spiritually sick. You know, we have this spiritual malady that's going on with us. See, drinking was only a symptom of the problem, but I had to know what the problem was. And the problem was my thinking, and I didn't realize that. Right? So I have this spiritual malady. I'm just really, really spiritually sick inside. So it really doesn't have to do with the alcohol, but it does, because it's a symptom of the problems. I have this obsession of the mind that happens before I pick up a drink, and I have this allergy. And you were talking about the allergy. What happens is with the allergy, Bill Wilson talks about that it will condemn you to die, this allergy. And what happens is that we can stand alone, or we can stand together on. So what really makes us an alcoholic is that second symptom, is that allergy. And it only happens in alcoholics. Doesn't happen in heavy drinkers. Doesn't happen in my brother. My brother's a heavy drinker. The allergy doesn't kick in with him. He has maybe 6 beers. He can stop. That doesn't happen with me. I can't control the amount that I can take. And I cannot stop entirely. That's really, really bad news for me. And the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. So the main problem is my thinking. And I didn't know that, right? I didn't know I was suffering from this spiritual sickness and this obsession of the mind that continued to lie to me. Talking about powerless over alcohol, I don't have the power, but I found out that I had the power within me, which I'm going to get to. But I don't have the power to stay sober. I don't. My power is my thinking, my self-will, and I can't stay sober on self-will. Can't do it. It's almost impossible to do it. So I need a power greater than myself. So, you know, I kind of had to know what the problem was, but I need to get to some sort of solution. And that's why they made the steps. You know, thank God for steps 2 and 3, is they bring you to the solution. And, you know, on page 25, it talks about our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous. Well, I didn't realize and didn't know until I started studying this book that God's within me. It's in my heart. It's not in my mind. But if you're starting off this new journey in Alcoholics Anonymous, welcome. But you can't rely on your thinking. Your thinking will get you drunk. Because my thinking says and tells me, and it tells me in the big book, I'm going with what the big book tells me, is that my thinking will get me drunk. So me saying to myself, okay, don't drink, isn't going to do it for me, because I'm going to forget all that, and my thinking's going to tell me to drink. Oh, it's a good idea to drink. Sure, it's a good idea to drink. And that's where my mind takes me. So I can't really rely on my thinking, because that's the main problem. Needed to get some sort of solution. And my solution was always to drink. So that's a really big problem. If my mind's telling me to to not to drink, to drink, to not to drink. You know, I'm going to go on a trip. I'm not going to go on a trip. I can't rely on my thinking at all. But the good news is that you can rely on your thinking once you get through this work. Because by the time you get to step 10 and 11, they tell you, we gave you a brain, we want you to think, and we want you to use that. And that's because by the time you get to steps 10 and 11, your thinking is in line with God. So all I'm thinking about today, I've done work, and so has a lot of you guys, because I see smiles on the faces and stuff. I can tell the people who haven't. It's like, oh, you know, I get it all the time. Either you love me or you hate me. You know, and that's what I get. And the people who hate me, I know who they are. They're the ones who haven't done the steps. Right? You know, and just to backtrack something is, I remember my second sponsor, first time I ever heard him, he's up at the podium, and here's a guy I don't even know, he's up at the podium, and he says, you have to love me. And I'm like, huh. And I'm saying in my own mind, I don't love this guy. How could he say that up at the podium of Alcoholics Anonymous? His name's Milton. Milton, if you guys know him, Milton Merle. He's passed away now. But he said, you have to love me. And I'll tell you why you have to love me. He said, you have to love me because the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says, is if you don't love me, it means you might not like me. And if you don't like me, you might have a resentment towards me. And if you have a resentment towards me, it's a number one offender that sends out more alcoholics than anything else is resentments. I'm like, I love this guy. I love this guy. Right? I just fell in love with Milton, my second sponsor. But, you know, so I needed a new solution. And, you know, like I said, that God, I'm not telling you who God is, because God can be whoever you want God is. I can't do that. But the big book tells me where God is. And when it tells me stuff like, you know, on page 25, our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a place which is indeed miraculous, I like that. And then on page 55, it said, deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. I like that also, you know. And at the back of the big book, it says spiritual experiences. And I know you all know it because most of you guys have done the steps. I haven't seen anybody leave yet. And so what happens is at the back of the big book under spiritual experiences, right at the very bottom, it says our members have tapped an unexpected inner resource, which they presently use as a power greater than themselves. I love that, right? I didn't know that God was always inside me, telling me the truth, and it was inside my heart, but my mind was in the way. Like, I didn't realize that. So what happened was I started relying on this power. I got to steps two, and I got to step three, and, you know, and I got to, like, yes, I can use this. And I didn't have to phone my sponsor 20 times a day. I could rely on this heart, this God, and by praying, and it would tell me the truth. Every single time it told me the truth, I'm going to start relying on that. It changed my life. It changed my life to know where the truth is. And that was the start of the journey. But just because I knew what the problem was my thinking. And just because I knew what the solution was, you would think that that would be enough to stay sober, but it's not. That's only the beginning. There's not even any house clean. There's nothing at that point. All I have today, if I have steps 1, 2, and 3, is I know that I'm a drunk, and I know I can't control or stop entirely drinking on my own resources or at all, and I know that there's a power greater than myself that's within me. So I know about the problem and I know about the solution, but that's still not enough. I needed to get to the house cleaning, and I'll tell you why is because the book tells me that most of us are going to go back out drinking, and it tells us exactly when you're going to go back out drinking. I hear it all the time. I heard it yesterday. Is the book tells us that this is as far as everybody gets is when it comes to resentments. I'm resentful. I'm going to use Jason. I'll just use you as an example. I'm resentful at Jason because he doesn't talk to me anymore. And how does that affect me? It affects my, I have a list there. It affects my personal relationship with Jason, but that's as far as it goes. That's as far as everybody gets in AA when they do the step four. That's all they get to. Well, the big book talks about going further than that. And what it says is, it talks about resolutely looking for our own mistakes. Where had we been? Selfish, dishonest, afraid, or self-seeking. That's right. So it talks about this looking for our own mistakes. The big book actually tells me that I have four main mistakes that I can make. And that's my four mistakes. Now, just because, now the book says, I'm resentful at Jason because he won't talk to me. It affects my personal relationship with Jason. That's as far as everybody gets. I don't like Jason, whatever. And I'm resentful. I don't like the loud guy up at the podium, whatever the case might be. But it really has nothing to do with the resentment, because I'm going to get to that. Has nothing to do with the resentment. But now I'm looking at my mistake. Okay, I'm going to look at my mistake, let's just say, with Jason and step four. So it talks about I resolutely look for my mistakes. And then it's the defects of character, or it talks about those four main defects of character. But I want to know why. See, a lot of people don't go to the why. Like, say you're resentful at 7-Eleven, you're stealing from it. And we know you're dishonest. We know you're dishonest. We know you don't like the place. We know you're dishonest. I want to know why are you dishonest? And that's where we get our defects of character from. So why am I stealing from 7-Eleven, or why don't I like Jason, or whatever the case might be? That's where I get my real chunks of truth about myself. This is why I'm doing step four. I want to swallow some big chunks of truth about myself. So I need to look at that. And what I need to look at is maybe I'm judging Jason, or maybe you're judging me. Maybe that's a huge defect. That's blocking me from God. And it's blocking me from the truth. I need to look at that. And I didn't realize that. So maybe me being angry at Jason because he won't talk to me anymore. Maybe I'm just inconsiderate. Maybe I was mean at some time towards Jason. I need a house cleaning. This is the house clean. And if we don't do this, it tells me I'm going to drink. And why are we going to drink? Because we're going to drink is because of these defects of character. They're killing me. My defects of character pull me so far away from God and the truth that there's really nothing left for me to do other than quit AA, quit phoning my support team, my friends in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to quit my home group. And you know, the next thing I know, I'm sitting on a bar stool drinking once again because of these defects of character. And because I think the problem, I go right back to the problem, right? And once again, I'm sitting on that bar stool thinking to myself, why am I here? So through the thinking and through the solution and going through just the resentment part, I need to get to the fears now. And a lot of people don't realize, but in the fears, it talks about fears, whys, and solution. And here's the solution to all your fears. It tells us at the bottom of the page, I think it's page 68, something like that, or 86. No, maybe it's 68. And it talks about at the bottom, we direct our attention to what God would have us be. Now, let me explain how the book says this. And it talks about having our fears and why. So let's just say I'm afraid to swim. Why? It's because I don't want to drown. I don't know how to swim. So I need to go down to the solution to the fear. And the solution to the fear is we direct our attention to what God would have us be. So I go, God, what would you have me be with this fear? God's telling me swimming lessons. And it says, you know what it says right after that? It says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. Once we know what that solution to that fear is, and remember, fear is kind of like separate from our resentments, unless somebody's going to beat us up and we have to deal with it in step four. But I'm talking about fears that are stricken, like fear of height, fear of money, intimacy. And, you know, I listen to a lot of steps, and this is a lot of the stuff that we need to go through. Anyways, we get to the sex inventory, and we just answer the questions. And the very last list we deal with in step four is we deal with the harms that we've done. But a lot of the harms that I have done, what a lot of people forget about is if you stole my iPhone, I'd be pissed off. Do you get me? If I stole your iPhone, you would be pissed off. But if you stole... If I stole your iPhone, if I stole Patsy's iPhone, would I have a resentment towards you? No. Why would I have a resentment towards you? Because I stole your iPhone. I wouldn't have a resentment towards you, but I've harmed you. And this is the last list that I need to do. There's some resentments and stuff that I need to make amends for. But you're not on my resentment list. You're on my harms list. I need to fix that. I stole Patsy's cell phone. I need to fix that. And then I go into step five. That's my list. I go into step five. We talk about it and stuff. And we're here for a long talk when it comes to step five. We get to six and seven. Step six and seven I really, really like, because step six and seven help me a lot with these defects of character. And this is what I've gotten out of all the years of doing the steps with hundreds of people, is step six is thinking about it and knowing about it. By the time you get home, you're ready to do step six, because I know what all these defects of characters are. And do you know what your defects of character are? I can tell you every single one of your defects of character like this. And they're the ones that are in front of your face right now that are lingering with us every single day. So if we have those defects of character, if we're thinking about those defects of character, we need help with those defects of character. That brings us to step seven. Step seven is humbly asking to remove our shortcomings, right? So if I'm acting out on my defects of character, Angie reminds me all the time I'm loud and Angie action, and I need God's help with that, right? And not only do I need God's help with that, I need some new actions. I need some new solutions. That's where step seven comes in. I need God's help to be just a little more quieter, just to be a little more respectful towards, I get very passionate, as you can tell. But that's where step seven comes in. Step eight, you know, I have this list. I've done it in step four. I go through it. And step eight is just really having the willingness to make these amends. And by that time, I really want this change in my life. I really want to go to these people. But I don't go to these people if they're going to hurt me. But I need to just be willing to make amends to them all. Somebody asked me the other day I do some, and I do now, or sometimes, or never. I'm like, what does that mean? Book says that we make amends to them all. If you're not alive anymore, I'm still going to have to make amends to you somehow. I need to fix what I broke. I need to make amends. But let me get to the amends part. And this is probably one of the most important things I've ever learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I fought for this a lot. And in step four, I didn't mention is that you put your own name on your step four, and you put your own name and you put it in last. You do yourself last, and you figure out, like, look, I got a lot of resentments, what you want to do is you want to make a huge house cleaning of our life. So you are on your step four. So when we get to step nine, I let people know is that you need to be on the top of that list. Now, how can I come to you with a complete broken heart, a complete broken mind that's trying my hardest, and come and try to fix something in your life when my life is still broken? So I needed to make amends to me. Making amends to me was the biggest part of my sobriety, making amends to me. But what does that look like? What does that sound like? And how do you do that? So I found out was forgiveness is the biggest thing that we can do for ourselves. So I found that out by doing these steps. It is. It's by far the biggest thing that we can do for ourselves. So that's the number one thing that we need to do for ourselves before I can go to anybody is forgiveness. But how do you do that? How do you forgive you for all the pain that I've caused people and hurt and insanity? What does that look like? And I'm going to tell you exactly what it looks like, because I've just been doing this for such a long time. You can take it or leave it, but the more you read the book, the more you're going to see it for yourself. Is I needed to make amends to me. And what happened was for my whole entire life as an alcoholic, is I always reacted very, very badly with a lot of situations. Not all the situations, but I reacted very, very badly. Even when I got sober, I reacted really, really badly until I did this work. So I needed to forgive myself, and I needed to change this, and I needed to know what can I do to forgive me, and how can I go to people when I don't even like them. I don't even like the people that I had on my resentment. How do you do that? And I learned I had to do the opposite of my defects of character. So whatever my defects of character were, self-will, God's will. Being mean, being kind, I needed to do the opposite. So what I found was, is if I do this one thing, it would change my entire life. And it has changed my entire life to forgive me, and that's to react with love. So whenever you talk to me, whenever we communicate, and whatever I do in my life each and every day, it's about reacting with love. See, I still get mad, I still get confused, I still live my life, but I go right to the solution. I got a new solution now, right? It's God. It's listening to my heart, and it's by reacting with love. By me reacting with love, forgives me. And that's what I needed. I needed to forgive me. I needed to react with love in every situation that is in front of me each and every day. I don't care what the situation is like, I need to react with love. I don't care how mad somebody gets, I need to react with love. That's the answer. And that's where the forgiveness. So once I started doing that, and once I started practicing that, and once I started working this, I could now come to you. And that was the biggest thing, is now I can come to you because I'm reacting with love. I don't care how you're reacting, because the resentment isn't about you. It was always about me and how I was always reacting towards what you said and what you thought and what you did. And I don't do that anymore. I react with love. If I'm going to judge you today, I'm going to judge you. But I'm going to judge you from how nice you are and how wonderful you are. You could even not like me. I don't care. I'm still going to love you. And I'm going to show you that love. And I'm going to always react with love. That brings us to, I guess I wasn't going to talk about the steps, but anyways, I know I got a few more minutes. So give me a few more minutes. It's been 26 minutes. So it brings us to step 10, and everybody said, a lot of people say in AA is, like, I do my step 10 every night. Somebody emailed me just now, I'm going to do my step 10 tonight after I just spoke last week out in Medicine Hat. They flew me out to Medicine Hat, and I spoke out there, and somebody emailed me, oh, I'm going to do my step 10 every night, and it's so important. I'm like, no, you're going to do your step 11 at nighttime. What you're going to do is do step 10 all through the day. Right? A lot of people get that confused, continue to take personal inventory. That's all through the day. Right? And I have to watch for five things. There's five things that I need to do. Is when these resentments crop up, there's the four resentments again. When they crop up, I need to pray about it right away. I need to tell somebody immediately. I need to make direct amends. And I need to resolutely turn my thoughts on how I can help others. That's step 10. And at the bottom of step 10, it talks about love and tolerance of others is our code. And that's the code I need to live. There's that love again. Love and tolerance of others is our code. We got a code. We're like the army, Jason. Be all you can be. But in AA, it's love and tolerance of others is our code. That's the code we need to live by today. So if I'm reacting with love, I'm doing pretty good today. I'm following what the steps are teaching me. Step 10 teaches me that too. And then we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Like, this spiritual malady, this spiritual sickness that's in my mind can be fixed by doing this work. And that's by doing the rest of this work in this course of action. And that's by doing all of these steps. And then step 10 is all through the day. Step 11 is really important. And I'll tell you how important step 11 is Bill and Bob knew we were going to mess this up. They did. They know that we're just going to rest on our laurels. They knew we were going to be headed for trouble if we do that. It even tells me that. But they knew we were going to just, like, you know, put our feet up and just love life a little bit. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't just do this every day because things are fine. Well, step 11 gets us back on track. Step 11 actually deals with all the steps, right? And there's 9 questions that you need to go through when we retire at night. And we need to go through each 9 questions when I retire at night. It's super important. I tell people, if you ever want to get back on track, or if you want to stay on track, you really need to do step 11. Because it takes you through all the steps in step 11 when you retire at night. And then, of course, there's awakening. And I love the awakening, but I love when I retire at night better. So, and then that brings us to step 12. And step 12 is giving this to others. Like, I've been given a gift of sobriety. Like, you know, they talk about this daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I've been given this new way of life. It tells me that in step 10. I got a daily reprieve. What's a reprieve? A reprieve is, it's like a stay of execution. So you've been actually given a day of sobriety to go out there and live it to the fullest and the best you can. You've been given today a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So why wouldn't we go out there and live it, love it, and give it to others? And so what am I going to give to others? I'm going to give them the hope. I'm going to give them the love. I'm going to take them through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, if you really want the biggest changes in your life, is to get into the 12 steps. And you know what? If you haven't done the 12 steps, I'll help you. And if you don't want the loud guy, there's the cute girls, or there's Jason. And, you know, there's many people here who can help you, love you, and walk with you. And we want to. We want to help you. I have many people with 20, 30 years of sobriety, 5 years, 5 days, 0 days coming up to me and saying, hey, can you help me with these steps? And I help them, and I'll help anybody. And why will I? Is because people have done it for me and walked with me and loved me and did this with me. So if you want to see life in a brand new way, more positive, loving, kind way, get into the 12 steps. And not only you'll love the loud guy, you'll love the cool guys, the great girls, and your friends and your family so much more. Thanks for my sobriety.